Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button and joining us today. Today's topic is entitled, What Kind of Prayers Does God Answer? I wonder, how would you answer that question? What kind of prayers does God answer? The learning objective is to, when you walk away from this podcast, that you will be able to identify your life, your prayer life, in the space of specific scriptures that give you wisdom into the kinds of prayers that move God's heart. Our mission at Edge God In is to champion your human potential in Christ. So what if after today's podcast, you had some clarity of focus that would lead to accuracy of response on the kinds of prayers that you lift up to the Lord, simply by tuning into the power of the Holy Scriptures and the wisdom that we gain from that? Our desire is to champion you in Christ, so that when you walk away from this podcast, your light will shine even brighter for Christ, that you will remember that you are Christ's ambassador, that he is making his appeal through you. I remember one time when I was completely self-absorbed, self-focused on something that didn't turn out for me the way I wanted it to. Can you relate to that? Perhaps you're coming to this podcast and there's something that's happened this past week that you really wanted to happen and it didn't roll out the way you wanted it to. And this was one of those moments, and I was just clinging to the ring like Gollum in the cave and just ruminating over and over around what I should have said, what they should have said, how I wanted it to turn out, but it didn't. And really self-focused in all of it. And I literally heard the gentle movement of the Holy Spirit within me, the Lord saying, hey, excuse me, it's not all about you. It's about me. The intention of these podcasts is to help us remember it's not all about us. In fact, our greatest joy comes when, as Jesus said, we die to ourselves. Why is that such a powerful invitation for us? Simply because God knows that unhappiness arises when we're self-focused. When we're God-focused and others-focused, happiness returns. That inner joy returns. As Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. So today's topic is all around what kind of prayers does God answer? And I'd like to just start out by saying, first and foremost, God hears everything. Any prayer that you pray or thought that you think, it's no shocker to him. And he is moved to show up for you in a way that always has your best interest in mind. We only use about 5% of our brain. Did you know that? Only about 5%, maybe 6%, maybe Einstein was rocking about 7 or 8. The rest is untapped. This should give us kind of a visual, as well as a sense of humility when we come before God. As we would speak to a younger child, we'd do the most of the speaking. If we speak to a teenager, maybe we'd end up speaking more depending on the issue. When we speak to someone that's a colleague, it's equal portions usually of speaking and sharing. And when we speak to someone who's very, very wise, like can you imagine sitting down and having a cup of tea with Mother Teresa? You would probably do very little speaking and a lot of listening. Take that image in your mind and imagine sitting down with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I can imagine that I would just want him to tell me as much as he wanted to share with me that I was overlooking in my 5% of my brain, and remind me of the invitation to truly let go of my need to be right, liked, understood, and just listen to his words on that. When we speak to Jesus Christ of Nazareth and God, perhaps we can start by making a little shift on talking less and listening more. Perhaps even just posing simple questions. Dear God, what would you have me say to this person? Lord, how do you want me to show up in this meeting? Jesus, when do you want me to talk to my spouse about this? Perhaps that's a good place to start, is shifting the amount of time that we talk versus listening. Holy Spirit, give us the strength and the wisdom and the discernment in today's podcast to really learn using the power of the Holy Scriptures that is sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing our heart, our soul, our marrow. Teach us how to pray. And we give you permission to revise and lead us into a deeper prayer life with you. Show us what that looks like. What are the kind of prayers that move your heart? Remind our mind of what our soul always knows. You are constantly after our well-being. You are a good father. You discipline us because you love us. Give us the strength to be attentive, to listen more, to speak less, and to be still and know that you are God and you adore us, Lord, that you are constantly beckoning us closer to your heart for deeper fellowship. Give us that grace of surrender, of our need to be right, liked, understood, have the last word, prove our value to the world around us. Help us, dear God, to be free, because it is for freedom that you have set us free, Lord. Give us the grace, unmerited favor to stand firm and not allow ourselves to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. We're giving way too much free rent to shiny objects and trinkets that have no meaning in your economy. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you are a rock and our redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's jump in and 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 4. If you have your Bible, pull it out and open up to 1 Kings chapter 4. If not, just listen along attentively, as I often say before we start our podcasts. Ask the Holy Spirit, what's for me? You're tuning in today for a reason. God has put this podcast in your path for a reason. I have full confidence in that it's no mistake that you are listening in today, that there's a message that God has for you. Be attentive. Ask the Holy Spirit, what's for me? Look for 1 to 3 things that you can take a hold of and store within your heart and put action steps to. And perhaps the action step will be simply to release and trust. I forgot to mention in the beginning of our podcast, this is all organic. We don't have a set intro. But in the intro, you can join our podcast if you haven't already, just so that you are in the know when we release one every. My co-host and I, Dr. Estella Chavoux, we alternate every Friday. If you go to your podcast app and look up Edge God In, you'll find it there. You can join our Facebook page as well, Edge God In, and join our Edge God In community, or visit our main website, edgegodin.com. You'll find more scriptures under this podcast, as well as a one sheet to capture your learnings and some other resources, helpful resources under each podcast at edgegodin.com. 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 through 34. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of the men of the East and greater than the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, including, and there's a bunch of different areas, he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He described the plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssops that grow in the tree. He knew about everything, birds, fish, reptiles. He knew all of that. So this is a ramification of a prayer, a conversation. That's what a prayer is. It's conversation with God. If you flip back one chapter to chapter 3, you'll find that starting in verse chapter 4, the beginning of this prayer. Now, this is our first insight into the kinds of prayers that God answers, is moved to answer. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want, whatever you want me to give you." Can you imagine that? If God woke you up tonight and simply said, "Ask me for whatever you want." Think about that. How would you answer that? What would you say? This is what Solomon said. "You have shown me great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on the throne this very day." He's speaking about himself. "Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David, but I am only a little child." So here we have first sign, humility. God answers prayers and is moved by humility. He opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. That's another scripture. So humility. "I'm a little child. I know nothing except for the fact that I need you." That, those are my words. That's not the scripture, but it's just pulling it in to a personal prayer. Back to the scriptures, "But I am only a little child, and you do not know how to carry out my duties." Do you feel today that you really don't know how to carry out your duties in life? Perhaps that's where you're coming from. Perhaps you have a lot on your plate. You're feeling exhausted, overwhelmed, perhaps incapable. There was a book that I read on fear one time, and the three main fuels to fear: I'm not okay, I can't handle it, or I might die. Now, in my case, when I was diagnosed with advanced cancer at 36, that was a very real fear. They were trying to get me 5 years at the time. However, that can also be applied to a fear of death, to ego. That falls in line with the drug of approval. Lots of fears. God wants you to bring everything to him. This is not a podcast to teach you what not to pray. This is a podcast to guide you into understanding what moves God's heart, to know him better, so you can adjust your prayers and know the truth of God's heart. He's moved by humility, my brothers and sisters in Christ. So here's King Solomon saying, "I'm only a child, and I don't even know how to carry out my duties." So perhaps you felt that. "Your servant is here among the people. You have chosen a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give," this is the ask, "give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong." There's another prayer that God answers. Praying for wisdom. Wisdom from God. "How do you want me to do this, God? How do you want me to think?" There's lots of outer pressure in the outer world right now, in the remote field, whether it be the news, whether it be social media. There are lots of potential triggers that Satan's using as bait to cause you to take offense. So praying for discernment. What's right? What's wrong? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do more of? What do you want me to do less of? He goes on to say, "For who is able to govern this great people?" So what his ask is pretty simple. Give me wisdom to know the difference between right and wrong. God answers that prayer. When you ask for wisdom to know in the situation, whatever's going on in your life today, I'm pretty confident that in the last week you had an opportunity to make a decision. Do I wear this or do I wear that? Do I visit this person or do I visit that person? Do I call this client or do I call that client? There's constant decisions. Asking for wisdom between what's right and wrong, as well as direction. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked him this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not. So he's telling him, he's given us insight here into the scriptures. These are the prayers that God hears, and it doesn't move his heart to action as much as the prayer that Solomon just prayed. Hey, give me wisdom to guide your people. The difference to know between what's right and wrong. And so God said, since you've asked me for this and not for long life, wealth for yourself, or have asked for the death of your enemies. Okay, now let's break this down a little bit into real time. Ask for long life, right? Your life, every heart beats in the hands of God. So that prayer can often be fueled by fear. I know because I prayed it many, many times. They've only given me 5 years. Lord, I've got 3 young kids. Give me a long life. I need to be here. The anxiety along with that prayer, God knows the anxiety that goes along with that prayer. Fear fuels that prayer. I'm afraid I won't have this. That reveals an attachment. Therefore, I have to ask for it. What Jesus is asking us to do and God is inviting us to do is to live a life of surrender and service. Lord, I'm here to serve you. Back to what we talked about in the beginning of the podcast. It's not about me. I'm your ambassador. You're making your appeal through me for your glory. Whenever we think it is about us, which happens pretty regularly in my life. How about you? So we think, oh, it's not about me. And God's constantly bringing us back to that place of surrender. Why? Because he knows that that's where our true peace exists. That passes all human understanding. If you know that you know that God is in charge, that he is in control, that he has your back, that he loves and adores you, and he's able to work together everything in your life that's worrying you today for an ultimate good, then your sleep will be sweet and peace will return. So that asking for long life is a big one to cause anxiety, because that means that you're anxious that you won't live long to accomplish what you want to accomplish, right? Or think you should accomplish. Many times we will package our prayer and make it look all pretty. When you really peel it back, it's actually coming from selfish ambition or vain conceits. The next one is wealth, because you've not asked for long life or wealth for yourself. Now we know this in reading the New Testament as well, that money is the root of all evil, not money itself, but the attachment to money. So when you have an attachment to wealth, I need this much in order to feel successful. That's an attachment. Again, an attachment is an emotional state of clinging to the belief that without something, you can't feel successful or enough. That's an identity hack. That is an identity hijack. You've been hijacked, thinking that you need something outside of you in order to have worth and value, whereas God is always calling us out of that. So God's saying, you didn't ask for this, because a lot of people do. I know I have. I've asked, hey, give me this, because then I can give more to other people, right? That's kind of like the back in prayer. Perhaps you prayed that as well. Lord, please bless me abundantly, financially speaking, because then I'll be able to give more. And I heard God say flat out to me one time when I was praying that prayer, you give more now and trust me with your future. And so he's after the surrender. He's after you making real time the woman, the poor widow who gave 2 coins. She gave everything she had. That's what he's after. So he knows all of the different in intricacies that wealth, or trappings, I should say, trappings that wealth has over people's minds. They think they are what they have, or you think you are what you have, or I thought I was what I have at times in my life. I remember when I lost my hair and my breasts, I thought I was my hair and my breasts. So I went through a real mourning period because of that attachment, right? And then the Lord reminded me, you're not your hair, you're not your breasts. You're my child and I adore you. I see your heart. You're not your physical appearance. Your physical appearance is something that you're blessed with. It's a temple for the Holy Spirit to hang out in, but it's the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. So we get confused sometimes. So coming back to that wealth piece, since you've asked for this, what is this? Ask for wisdom, discernment, teach me what's right and wrong. and you've not asked for long life, wealth for yourself, or have not asked for the death of your enemies. Woo! Booyah! That's a big one these days. We're seeing a lot of that out there in terms of, I want the death of my enemies, right? This is a big one. Now, flat out, perhaps you'll push back and say, well, I don't want the death of my enemies. There are many different trappings with this phrase, death of your enemies. This is lack of forgiveness. This is kind of secretly wishing, man, I hope they get theirs. Or I hope, well, God will take care of them. Now, this is what the disciples did at one time when they saw some people that were rejected them. And when they were spreading the gospel, two of his disciples said, well, let's call down lightning and destroy these people. And Jesus rebuked them because he knows it's not judgment and it's not force over other people. In fact, that's weakness disguised as strength. Force over other people is weakness disguised as strength. Jesus knew it was love that was going to save, always, always love. That saves. And so to ask, this is a great place to really ask the Lord to give you discernment. Who haven't I forgiven in my life? I'm reading more about deliverance and what that looks like from strongholds. And the first phase of deliverance, the biggest step is to cleanse your heart from non-forgiveness in order for the Holy Spirit to cleanse you from strongholds that have taken hold of you in your life. Include yourself. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I am willing today to forgive myself for every time that I've moved from a place of selfishness, when I've moved from a place of fear and lack of trust and lack of faith, when I've moved from a place of greed, selfish ambition, vain conceits. It's a powerful prayer to have, and God will answer that because he knows that will free you, because that's God's desire, to free you from you so that you can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Who do you need to forgive today? This is the part of what God's talking about in terms of, you haven't asked me for the death of your enemies. When we don't forgive someone, it's as if we're harboring a little tiny seed that's connected to that. Wanting the death of your enemies. I'm not going to forgive you. You don't deserve to be forgiven. Be very careful. Jesus is very clear on this when he taught us how to pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. So how are you forgiving others? Because that's how you will be forgiven. And it takes grace again. There's some horrific things that happen in life. I remember one time God asked me to forgive someone who sexually abused me as a teenager, and that was a tough one, and I had to ask for grace to do it, and yet the freedom was immense, which freed me. So who do you need to forgive today? And ask the Lord to help you, to truly help you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus pulls this message through the four Gospels again and again. Teach me how to love, Lord, the way that you love. And that includes forgiving everyone that has come against me in any way. So show me who you want me to forgive. Remember to include yourself with that, because the devil plays around in guilt and shame so that you don't experience the joy of the Lord. And that's a stronghold that literally walks through the archway of self-rejection. And so to pray the prayer in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I renounce self-rejection. Always using the name of Jesus Christ, just as the disciples did. And just as we are told by the disciples that we have that power too. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil, waging war against our soul. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking to devour you. What do? Resist him, renounce. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, use the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to renounce. Renounce whatever it is, self-rejection, greed, self-focus, lack of forgiveness. Use that powerful name of Jesus Christ. So, three things we just discussed. Since you've asked for this, not for long life, wealth, for yourself, or have not asked for the death of your enemies, but this is a great shift for discernment in administering justice. Now, this is God's response to, and kind of reframe to what Solomon said, because Solomon said, hey, help me to distinguish between right and wrong. God's response, to just bring a little clarity, is what you're really asking for is discernment in administering justice. That's what you'd like. I will do that, he says. I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that you will never have, so there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk and this is a big and, so we had a but and if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and the commands as David your father did, I will give you long life. So he's linking there, he's given us a key phrase here. Long life comes from, he was telling him, I will give you this, I'll grant you this, if you obey my statutes and my commands. What does Jesus say his commands are? To love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So he was aware, and perhaps as God always is, he's always aware of our hidden prayers. So again, this is not a podcast to restrict you, but to expand your ability to pray with discernment, really pray with discernment, knowing what moves God's heart. So what's up with that? So he didn't pray for that, but God desired to give it to him anyway. What's the key factor here? Non-attachment. When you're not attached to things, I'm okay with or without this, Lord. You bless me as you want to bless me. There was one prayer that I prayed, I think I started praying it, I don't know, like 6 or 7 years ago, a while ago. God put it on my heart to start praying that he would withhold territory from me, professionally speaking, until I had gained the character to be able to handle it in a way that I would be able to honor him and in all things. And he did. And he continues to do that in certain areas, to withhold territory, withhold expansion until I've developed the character to handle it in a way that I honor you. It's a powerful prayer and one that is very freeing because it will reveal to you what you're attached to. I really want this, God. I really, really want this, right? Why do you want it? What's behind that? What's behind that desire? Well, because if I get it, then I can help others more. Help others more now. Ask God to show you how to help others more effectively now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today. Show me, dear God, what my give back project is today. And I will trust you that you'll bless me as you see fit to bless me, to do your work that I'm here to do. Because when so many times God has kind of reminded me this, knocked me on the head gently, it's not all about you. It's about me and accomplishing my purpose. That will be your greatest joy. Let's flip to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. So here's another, so Chronicles. So this is the Chronicles. Author's kind of uncertain in terms of Chronicles, but we do know that this is kind of a repeat of what we experience and read about in 1 Kings chapter 3. Chronicles chapter 1 is kind of a repeat of that. Chronicles 1, 10. We're starting at 8, same thing. It's kind of repeating that. It's basically kind of going back to that same encounter and that conversation between God and Solomon. And so here's a couple different words used in Chronicles. It says, Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David, because that night it says in chapter 1, verse 7 of 2 Chronicles, the Lord appeared to Solomon and said to him. So this is confirmation. Not only is it in 1 Kings, it's also in 2 Chronicles. God appeared to Solomon and said, ask me for whatever you want, basically. Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David, my father. Same thing. And have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed. For you have made me king over people who are numerous. So we hear the same exact awareness that Solomon had. Man, I'm not equipped to do this. So again, what do you feel you're not equipped to do? That's an awesome springboard into a powerful prayer. I'm not equipped. These people, they're numerous as the dust of the earth. And in First Kings, he said, he went as so far as to say, I'm like a child, I can't do this. So in verse 10, he says, give me wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge. So the first time we read, it's give me discernment between right and wrong. This time in Second Chronicles, it's referred to as wisdom and knowledge, that I may lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? God responds, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, honor, the death of your enemies, and since you haven't asked for long life. So same thing. The only thing that's added is the riches or honor, okay? Wealth, long life, death of enemies. Perhaps that's your takeaway today. Wealth, long life, death of your enemies. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you where are you mucking around in the area of wealth, your attachment to money, your feel your need for it. Ask the Lord to show you who he wants you to forgive, to release. The long life bit, that has to do with fear of the future. Perhaps you've got some fear. Mine was specifically related to going through advanced cancer. What's yours today? Fear that your life's going to be taken from you, physically or emotionally, mentally. You can put that in there as well. Ask the Holy Spirit to sift you and show you how to speak to him about this. And you've not asked for wealth, riches, and honor, nor for the death of your enemies. And since you have not asked for long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people, over whom I have made you king. Therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given to you, and I will also give you riches and honor, such as no other king before you has ever had. There again, what's the piece there? Non-attachment. Too often when we come before God, we are very attached to what we're praying for. I need you to do this for me, God, because if not, then what? That attachment is an emotional state of clinging due to the belief that without something, you cannot be happy, feel valued, feel successful. An action step in that area is to simply write down those things that you feel you are attached to in life. How do you know when you're attached to something? Because there's a strong emotion associated with it. Usually fear, self-doubt, or worry if that thing isn't achieved or if that thing is lost. This isn't a step that you can take once you have that list. This is what I'm attached to. And you can either cross it out and flip the paper over and say, you alone. I trust in you alone. You give me what you want me to have. You send me where you want me to go, and you make me who you want me to be. Or some people have actually made a little campfire. I'm in a safe place. This is summertime if you're camping, and you can actually burn it or you can shred it. As you're saying that prayer, Lord, you make me who you want me to be. Send me where you want me to go. And you want me to, and move me to desire what you want me to have. And so again, that's the prayers that God wants, that God desires to answer, and he answers. So let's break this down a little bit before we end today's podcast. I'm just going to give you a list of some things that are backed with scripture that God clearly was moved to answer. And as I'm reading this list, just write down what resonates with you. What aspects from this list do you want to do more of in your life? And once you've decided, oh, I want to do more of this or focus more on this, then do a scripture study on it. And then ask the Lord, what's an action step that I can make this real in my life? So rather than it just being, oh, that was a nice teaching, what we're doing is we're looking how to transfer that teaching to boots on the ground, positive behavioral shifts in your life to make more room for that teaching to come alive for you in Christ. What kind of prayers move God's heart? the prayers that are out of awareness of our own weakness. We saw that with Solomon. I'm just a child. I don't know what to do. Prayers that are that have the intention of bettering other people's lives. That are better prayers that have to have the intention of bettering other people's lives. We see that all through the Psalms. We see that as well in Proverbs. Prayers that Jesus taught, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That means you're giving God permission. You have your way with me, God. Thy will be done. Teach me who you want me to be and where you want me to go, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day of our daily bread. Now, God's inviting us to do exactly what he offered the people in Moses' time to do. I'm going to give you your daily bread, but don't store it. Trust me to give you tomorrow's daily bread. Your greatest place of empowerment comes in the moment. Help me to live the present moment for your glory, dear God. When they stored the bread, the manna from the desert, what happened? Maggots. What are maggots, metaphorically speaking? Self-doubt, fear, worry that you're going to lose what you're holding on to. That's an attachment. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Who do you need to forgive? Who is God moving your heart to forgive today? Ask him for names and renounce. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I renounce unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I choose to forgive and put in the name of that person. In the name of Jesus, I choose to forgive, put in the name of that person. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation. That's a prayer that Jesus answers. What are you tempted by today? That's robbing your peace. God runs to answer that prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God answers that prayer. Help, Lord, I'm being attacked by a thought form that's robbing my peace. Clear it out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I bind, rebuke, and cast out in Jesus' name. Rejection. Self-doubt. Self-rejection. Prayers for discernment. We saw that in 1 Kings and Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles. Give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom, knowledge, discernment, to know right from wrong, to know what to do or what to say. Before I do these podcasts, that's one of my prayers. I don't know what to say. So you say what you want to say through me to touch the hearts of the people you adore. That's a prayer that has never left me empty-handed. And God desires to answer that for you. A humble and contrite heart. Prayers that come from a humble and contrite heart. What are the kind of prayers that God answers? From a humble and contrite heart. Strength for the journey. I've never been left empty-handed. I've had people ask me, how did you get through 5 years of treatment, 2 years of chemo, 6 weeks of daily radiation, 14 surgeries in less than 2 years, MRSA staph infection, a divorce, double mastectomy, losing your hair, your breasts, your physical identity, your marriage. How'd you do that? Prayers that ask God, I cannot do this, dear God, but you can. And I trust that you can. From a humble and contrite heart, when we come to the end of ourselves, and what we start to learn, hopefully, as we walk with the Lord, don't wait until you come to the end of yourself. Just know you can't trust yourself. I don't trust me, Lord. So I give you authority to override me today so that I can stay in your will. So strength for the journey. He will answer that prayer. I was never left empty-handed in those 5 years of intense treatment and the loss of my marriage. Wisdom to administer justice. That's what we heard. Not the first time in the scriptures, not the last. Give me wisdom to be just. What part do you want me to play, dear God, right now in the state of our country, to stand for justice and truth from your perspective? What do you want me to do, God? Rather than judging people around me, what role do you want me to take? Make me the person you want me to do. And if there's anything you want me to do to stand for justice, then move my heart, dear God. God will answer that prayer. Prayers for mercy. Please, Lord, forgive this person. They know not what they do. Jesus from the cross. the ability to forgive. I'm having a hard time forgiving this person, Lord, but I know you want me to love them. So show me how to do that. Show me what that looks like. Because in and of myself, I can't do it. I prayed that prayer before. The ability to distinguish right and wrong, as we prayed, the ability to stand firm to the end, God will answer that prayer. Give me the grace, because I didn't know if I had more than 5 years. So I prayed, and I continue to pray, because I don't know how long I have. Either do you, by the way. Things happen. And so to pray, help me to stand firm to the end, so that I will hear you saying to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. God will answer that prayer. Any prayer that will ultimately up your ability to keep his commands, to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor. God is moved by those prayers. He is also moved by the prayers to ask for the ability to distinguish a discerning heart always, as we read in both of those. And also prayers backed with faith, as we read with the faith of the centurion. Stop Jesus in his tracks. He marveled at the centurion's faith, because he said, hey, you don't have to come to my house. I'm a commander. I say to this man, you go here or you go there, and they follow me. All you have to say is they'll be healed, and I believe my servant will be healed. Luke chapter 7. Jesus asked him first, before he even said that, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus pretty much already knows what you want him to do for you. He asked that question, and imagine, as you're upping your prayer life with the Lord, imagine beginning your prayer life sitting with Jesus and having him say that question, what do you want me to do for you today? And what you've learned today about the kind of prayers that move God's heart, really lean into that. In fact, I encourage you to re-listen to this podcast when you have a chance to write down what you want to remember to make your prayers come alive and to move God's heart. A couple of scriptures we'll end with here. James 4:3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Hello. That's how we started the podcast. It's not about you. It's not about me. We are Christ's ambassadors. He is making his appeal through us. As Billy Graham prayed consistently, dear Lord, make me the person you want me to be and send me to the places you want me to go. Learn from David's prayers in the Psalms. I'm nothing without you. I'm nothing. Don't withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. Psalm 40:11. Psalm 51:10-2, create in me a pure heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. You get in the theme of these prayers? This is what you truly want. This is what I truly want. We forget that this is what we want. Lord, I want wisdom to guide your people. I want discernment between right and wrong. Give me the grace to be able to put you first, and to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. Do not cast your spirit and your presence from me. Sustain me. 1 Kings 5:29. Dear Lord, give me what you gave to Solomon. This is praying that those scriptures, that I might be used to draw your people to your heart. God gave Solomon three things: wisdom, insight, and understanding. God gave Solomon wisdom, and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding, as measureless as the sand on the seashore. That's what you read in 1 Kings 4. We started that before flipping back to the encounter between Solomon and God. So he gave him three things: wisdom, insight, and understanding. Wow, what a cool prayer. Dear God, before I even step foot on the ground today, give me wisdom, insight, and understanding. Whatever comes my way, give me wisdom, insight, and understanding, so I do today the way you want me to do today. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. God hears prayers from a repentant and humble heart, and he answers our prayers. So come to him, my brothers and sisters in Christ, with that humble and contrite heart, asking for the things that God knows you deeply want and desire that will give you the freedom you truly seek and the identity that perhaps has gotten lost or hijacked by the shiny objects. I'm going to end with Mark chapter 3, an interesting encounter here where Jesus is talking about when he was accused of being associated with Satan. And he's like, how can Satan drive out Satan? What he also said in Mark chapter 3, verses 28, he said, I tell you the truth, all sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. Now, this is a scripture, my friends, that has been spoken about throughout the Gospels. It's the gift against, or it's the sin against the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? So what that means is that any sin that you feel is bigger than the mercy and the grace of God, that's the sin against the Holy Spirit. It's the difference between Peter and Judas. They both denied Christ. Peter continued to keep the faith in the presence of Christ and his forgiveness, and knew, had that inner confidence for restoration. Judas did not, and he took his own life. He didn't believe that the grace of God was big enough to be able to forgive his denial, his sin. So he took his own life. So truly, the only sin that is an unforgivable sin is the sin of not believing that whatever you've done in your life, and this is where you can come with that humble and contrite heart, that you don't think that God will forgive you, because he will. Satan would have you believe that you can't be forgiven, but you can. And that's truth. Always bring whatever it is to the foot of the cross, to receive and repent and turn from your ways into the life that God desires for you to embrace, that God desires for you to grab a hold of. And that is your freedom. So whatever it is, come to him with that humble and contrite heart. And remember, he always forgives whatever you bring to him. There's nothing beyond his grace, nothing beyond his grace of forgiveness. The only thing he desires is a humble and contrite heart. Jesus, I did this, and I believe your love is greater and your restoration is greater. Help me to turn from my wicked ways, my choice to do behavior that's against the person you've created me to be, and set me free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So enjoy giving him heaven out there, my brothers and sisters in Christ. There's enough of the other side going on, and know how much that God adores you. Visit us at edgegodin.com for the one sheet to capture your learnings today, and really take some time with the Holy Spirit to resurrect those kind of prayers that move the heart of God based on what you learned in the scriptures today. God bless you.